This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Yes, and thank you. Thank you for joining me today. Success. So achieving success is an all-encompassing journey that requires both mastering your inner and outer game. By the way, in case you didn't know, this is Phyllis Smith. I'm not on vacation. Anyway, so it's really important that this guest I have today, I'm so excited about. He has spent more than two decades as a personal development mentor. He's the author of 10 books, including the highly acclaimed Affirmations, The Miracle of Positive Self-Talk. His work has been praised by world-renowned thought leaders like, get this list, Stephen Covey, Neil Donald Walsh, John Gray, Harvey McKay, Jack Canfield, and many more. He's also appeared on hundreds of TV and radio interviews, including all the major television networks, the Hallmark Channel, NPR, Forbes, Chicago Sun-Times, the Washington Post, the list goes on. So please welcome my esteemed guest, Noah St. John.
Hi, Phyllis. Great to be here with you today.
How'd that feel?
Hey, it was great. I'm gonna take you on the road with me. Boy, that was a really good confidence booster there.
You feel like a star? Well, I'm so glad.
I do. I sure feel good.
Well, confidence. We are going to be talking about confidence today,
yes.
For sure. So I'm glad I was able to help you with that. But I have a feeling you don't need much of that. So
that was great.
Something that I on your website, noahstjohn.com, you have several belief systems for success. And I'd like to cover a few of them that, because there's some things that kind of really stand out for me. First, you have the four components of an abundant lifestyle. So why don't you tell us about those?
Absolutely. On our campus, we talk about, having this abundant lifestyle, which, of course, is what we want. As entrepreneurs, people wanting to build our business, we want to get the word out. We want to help people make a difference. But, of course, we ourselves want to have that abundant lifestyle, or what we often say is a life of stress-free prosperity, whatever you want to call it, fulfillment, happiness, joy, just helping people. But so what we talk about is the four elements of time, energy, relationships, and money. So when you look at that, if you think about those four circles all coming together, and when you have an abundance of all of those, that's where you have that abundant lifestyle. So just very quickly, looking, for example, at the element of time. Right, imagine if you had $1 million, but you don't have any time to enjoy it. Is that an abundant lifestyle? Well, of course not. Nobody would say, I want that. But what we notice is that, isn't it funny that time is really the most valuable resource that we have as human beings? And why is that? Well, because, of course, time is the only resource that can never be replaced. All of Bill Gates' billions can't buy 1 minute of yesterday. So the point is that, we say that and we sort of give lip service to the fact, oh, yeah, time's really important, but very few of us treat it that way. We tend to treat it as if we have all the time in the world when that's really not true. So what I often say to my clients and this is what I'm going to recommend to everybody listening, is, go ahead and rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10 in the area of time. How abundant or how stuck do you feel in the area of time? And the way you can see that, or one of the ways you can, gauge that is, how many times a day or week do you catch yourself saying, boy, I'd love to do X, but I don't have the time. Boy, I wish I could do more of this, but man, I don't have any time. I have too much to do, too little time. I'm sure a lot of folks can relate. And then go through that also in the other areas of energy, and relationships, and money. How stuck or abundant do you feel with energy? Do you feel frustrated? Do you feel, depressed or sad? Or are you happy and have really lots of great energy? With relationships, do you have the right people on your team? Do you have a team? Do you have, are you doing everything yourself? Are you running around and maybe don't have those business relationships and also personal relationships? And then, of course, the element of money. That's where a lot of entrepreneurs, quite frankly, feel that they're working way too hard for not enough money. And, one of the main reasons for that, of course, is you don't have these systems in place that are enabling you to leverage the time, energy and relationships that you have. So isn't it amazing how all those things work together? So again, I just highly recommend that you just, you know, everybody can do this, just, you know, take a minute or two and just rate yourself 1 to 10 on all those areas and see how stuck or abundant you feel.
It's interesting. I interviewed Hiram Smith. And Hiram Smith is, he was a founder, co-founder with Stephen Covey of the Franklin Covey, and created the Franklin Planner. Going back, if you were in corporate America, you had a Franklin Planner. This man is a billionaire.
Right.
And one of the things he said about time, because of course Franklin Planner was really not just a planner like with a calendar. It was, you had to take their class on time management. And what he said is people who tell you they don't have the time are lying. That all of these things actually that you mentioned, time, energy, relationships, money, there's choice involved in all of that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things we talk about all the time, too. When someone says, I don't have the time, that is, in fact, a lie that you're telling yourself. And, you know, of course, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. Bill Gates, Richard Branson, Donald Trump, we all have the same 24 hours. And so clearly, if you're not, you know, at the level of, you know, money, income, or making a difference that you want to be at, it's really a function of the systems that you have or the bottlenecks that you have, the choke points, the stuck points that are there in your business and in your life. That's the thing that you need to be looking at.
Right. You say that success is really achieved when you master your inner and your outer game. Explain that.
Well, any endeavor, any human endeavor has the inner component and the outer component, whether we're talking about your business, whether you're talking about relationships, your health, you know, your wealth, whatever it might be. So the inner game is what we call it, when it's the things that happen between your ears. So you can't see them directly, but you see the effects of them. So these would be things like your beliefs, your thoughts, your desires, your priorities, your values. You can't see those things directly, but you see the effects of them. That's the inner game. Then the outer game are those things that you can see directly, your habits, your lifestyle, the systems and strategies that you do every day. That's the everyday blocking and tackling, you know, the stuff that you can see directly. So what happens is when people feel stuck, when they feel like they're not getting to that next level, it is a function of either your inner game or your outer game or both. I'll give you a quick example of what I'm talking about. I was speaking at a seminar in Los Angeles one time, and I just finished speaking. I was walking off the stage. A guy comes up, rushes up from the audience, and he practically tackles me. He says, Noah, I want you to coach me. And I said, okay. I literally didn't know this guy from Adam. It turns out, ironically, his name was Adam. Anyway, my point is that he said, hey, Noah, I want you to coach me. I said, well, what's going on? He said, Noah, I'm totally stuck. I'm only making $4 million a year. Now, of course, I had to laugh. I mean, that's like, you're stuck, huh? And I said that to him. I said, gee, you know, a lot of people like to be stuck at $4 million a year. I don't get it. What's the problem? He said, no, you don't understand. I own a software company, and we grew to $4 million in revenues really fast, like almost overnight, but we have been stuck at $4 million in revenues for the last 4 years. He says, I've gone to all these coaches. I've tried all these programs. I've tried everything else. You know, I've hired everybody, and we just can't get over that hump. And he said, as soon as I heard you talk about inner game and outer game and getting your foot off the brake and everything you just said, I knew I wanted – you were the coach I've been looking for. Anyway, long story short, I did end up coaching him. And within what happened was, you know, we went through our process that we go through, which, you know, we call the Power Habits Formula. And in less than 2 years, his company had grown from being flat at $4 million for the previous 4 years to over $20 million in revenues.
Mm.
So literally a 5 times increase. Now, the point of the story, Phyllis, the reason I was sharing that, is that the irony of that story is that 85% of the work we did was inner game. Oh. You know, everybody thinks it's your marketing, it's your sales pages, it's, you know, the customer, you know, all of these things. And yes, those things are important. Of course they're important. But the bottom line is that you, the business owner, you may be unwittingly and unknowingly and unconsciously holding yourself back because of these inner game issues that you're just not aware of right now. So, I mean, it really is a powerful example of how inner game can really keep someone stuck.
Without saying his name, I mean, you just say his name is Adam, but I'd just be curious, I'm curious about, like, one aspect of his inner game that was holding back that many, I'm sure, listening can relate to.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we worked on a lot was using my affirmations method, which I know we're going to be discussing, today. But it really was, he didn't realize that he was asking very disempowering questions. He was literally using his own brain against himself. And that's, you know, really what the point of affirmations are, which, like I said, I know we're going to be discussing. So that is, you know, a great example of that.
Okay, we'll go into that a little bit later. Another one of your beliefs that I find very interesting, and you alluded to it earlier when you mentioned the four components of an abundant lifestyle. You talked about money and that so many, you know, ask yourself, are you working hard but earning too little money? One of the things you talk about is you believe in proper work, not just hard work. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I grew up in a family that really believed in hard work. And, you know, from my dad, I learned the value of hard work. His father was, you know, a farmer from Czechoslovakia. So, you know, I grew up in that environment of work hard and got that really great Slovak work ethic, which is great. But what happened was my father never was able to translate hard work into money, into being prosperous, into having that abundant lifestyle that I was just talking about. So, you know, I grew up really in having that poverty and fear and lack all the time, and my parents just arguing every single day about money and just always growing up with that, fear that, you know, we're going to lose our home, which ironically we did lose our home. But anyway, my point is that was the thing that really put it in my face, that there's an enormous difference between hard work and, you know, I just call it proper work, meaning work that actually gets a result, meaning, okay, I want to have that time, energy, relationships, and money, have that abundance so that I'm not just getting by, I'm not just surviving. And so really, for me, that was the thing that made it very obvious that there's a huge difference between just working hard, working long. And again, I'm certainly not putting that down. I mean, it's great to have that work ethic. It's great that, you know, for the folks who are dedicated and, you know, of course you have to do that in order to be successful. I just want people to realize that just working hard won't necessarily do it. I'll give you another quick example of that. I wanted to learn how to play golf, and so I was out swinging the golf club, and, of course, I couldn't hit it worth a dime. It would just go, you know, off to the side there. And, you know, my wife said, well, why don't you keep working at it? I said, honey, the point is I'm swinging wrong. I'm doing it wrong. I can do this 10,000 more times, and I'll still be having a lousy result. So what I did was I hired a coach. I said, you know, could you show me how to, like, swing this thing properly? He said, you got to open up a club face. I said, well, what's a club face? I didn't know a damn thing. And so he said, well, you do this and this. And I hit it in the air. I'm like, oh, my God, I got it in the air. That never happened before. You see my point. So that's another example of proper work versus hard work.
And so how does someone know? I mean, I understand that the analogy in golf, but in business, I guess they know if they're working hard, not earning and not creating the earnings. The proper work is really learning the right way to do it, so that you don't not that you don't have to work hard, but that you work right. Is that how you would define proper?
Yes, it is. And again, yeah, when I say proper, I mean getting the result that you want. And so it often does. We have to hire a coach or a mentor or it be in a mastermind group. So you're getting that outside perspective. Again, like with the example of a golf club, I couldn't see what I was doing because I'm myself. And just like that in our business, usually we're too close. And so you just can't see it. You need that outside perspective. And yeah, if you're not getting the results that you want, in other words, gosh, I'm working, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day, but, you know, maybe I still haven't reached that six-figure level or whatever level that is that you want to get to, that's when, you know, what we call a coup, and you say, maybe I might need to get some outside help, get some outside perspective, and then start working on that proper work rather than just keeping spinning your wheels.
No, we have to take a short break, but when we come back, we are, you alluded to your affirmations, and that's affirmations. We're going to learn about those, and we're also going to learn about what poverty mentality is, and what we can do to change that. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And we are back with Noah St. John. It's so much to cover today that Noah, I'm so glad you're with us, but boy, we can go on for hours and hours.
I'll have to come back.
You'll have to come back for sure. Okay, so there's one more belief I wanted to discuss that I just love these terms. You say you believe that it is the duty of those of us who have been given much to help those who have less, and that it is our responsibility to teach the world how to move from poverty mentality into an abundance consciousness. What is poverty mentality?
Poverty mentality is what I really was talking about earlier, which is what I grew up with, and frankly, what most of humanity has been in for thousands and thousands of years, which is just survival. You know, just, okay, I'm going to pay the bills. I'm going to, you know, I'll have enough food to get by, and, you know, I probably can't go on vacations or do the things that I really want to do because I don't have the money. You know, that's really where most of humanity is. And so I'm certainly not suggesting that, you know, I'm special or that anything terrible happened to me, but I'm just realizing that when I grew up in that situation, and it just was ironic because I grew up in this little town called Kennebunkport, Maine, which just happens to be one of the wealthiest communities in New England. But
yeah,
my family
yeah.
was dirt poor. And so I had it, again, in my face from the very young age that there's this huge gap, dichotomy, chasm between the haves and the have-nots. The haves was everyone else in the community. The have-nots was my family. And so, again, the point is that, you know, even though I grew up with that poverty mentality in my family, I saw this abundance consciousness, like, right literally across the street. So I'm like, this is bizarre. Because my parents work really, really hard. Like I was talking about earlier, you got that hard work ethic, but why couldn't they make money? It just, for me as a kid, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. If you're working hard, you might as well make money. You know, yeah. I mean, duh. But, you know, it's not always that easy. So my point is, that's when I went on a very long journey, Phyllis, to understand, well, what is consciousness? What is thought? What are beliefs? How come so many people are working so hard and just barely getting by, just surviving? And meanwhile, there's other people that don't seem to work very hard at all and have lots of abundance, have lots of wealth and are well-to-do and all that stuff. You know, the whole 1% argument, which is really true. It is about 1% of humanity that has this so-called abundance. So my point is that that's why I've been on like a crusade to level the playing field. It just makes me mad when I see people who work really hard and yet they're still struggling financially. So I want to give them tools to help them out of that situation. And I want to give these tools to all of humanity because, in my opinion, when you look at the problems that humanity is facing, that the planet is facing, most of it can come down to this this poverty, this scarcity consciousness that we don't have. There's not enough to go around, and so I have to, you know, take from someone else in order to get what I need or what my family needs. What we need to realize is that we live in an abundant universe and that there is enough to go around, but it's not that way unless we see it that way.
Yeah, and you're right, that concept of poverty, the first thing that comes to my mind is lacking, like you lack for
exactly.
Feast or famine, or the word survival. You're just working hard enough to just get by because you want to survive, and then when you have it, let's just say you come somehow, you know, you make a big paycheck that week and you're so excited, but it's that feast or famine mentality. Then you want to spend it. And then you find yourself in this loop, this never-ending loop of always just trying to get by. So let's talk about...
Well, exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
No, well, I was just going to say, I totally agree with what you're saying. And yes, I, you know, that's where I was for most of my life until I learned these distinctions. And then now that I'm not there, now that I was able to really break through that, now I do feel it's my responsibility and duty to share these tools with other people.
So let's talk about affirmations. Again, AFFORMATIONS. Your book is called Affirmations, the Miracle of Positive Self-Talk. Everybody's talking about it. What are affirmations and how did you discover them?
Well, what I just want to mention is that we are saying a new word. We are saying the word affirmations, not affirmations, which is the old, you know, technology or tool that we're used to hearing about. So, of course, everybody listening to this program knows what an affirmation is. An affirmation is a positive statement of something that you want to be true. So, like, for example, a classic affirmation is, I am rich. And you say that statement, I am rich, right? But the problem is when you say that statement, what happens in your brain? Your brain goes... Yeah, right. Right.
No, you're not.
We really don't believe it, right? And in fact, in the book, I call it the yeah, right response, because that is exactly what happens in our brain. Our brain goes, I don't believe you, buddy. We're saying these positive things, and we want to believe it. We really want to believe it, but you know what? We just don't believe it. Well, back in 1997, I was that person. I was reading all those books and doing everything they told me to do, but meanwhile, I ended up as a 30-year-old college student. I was a religious studies major living in this tiny little dorm room. I had $800 to my name and all of my worldly possessions in this room that was so small. If you put your arms out to the sides, you could touch the walls on both sides. So I'm going, what is wrong with this picture? I've been doing everything they told me to do, and yet I am a failure. I am not, you know, where I want to be at all in life. And so I was thinking about this, you know, and very frustrated. One night I was looking around my little room and I had all these little statements. I am happy, I am wealthy, I am prosperous. And why had I done that? Well, because every book tells you to do that. So now I felt even worse because I'm like, well, wait a minute, I've been doing what they told me and I'm still not any good. I mean, what the heck? So I was very frustrated. And the next morning I got in the shower and I was thinking about all this. And, in the book I call it the shower that changed everything. You know, you ever get those moments in the shower?
Yes!
And, you know, those aha moments. Well, this really was an aha moment that really changed my life and has changed, you know, thousands of lives subsequently. But anyway, what happened was I was thinking about all this and thinking about the nature of thought. And I said, what is human thought? And I realized that thought is the process of asking and searching for answers to questions. For example, if I ask you the question, why is the sky blue, your brain automatically starts to search for the answer, right? I mean, it immediately starts searching for the answer. So I said, well, wait a second. If the human mind is automatically searching for answers to questions, why are we going around making statements that we don't believe? Why don't we just cut out the middleman? And I said, well, I don't know. What would that look like? Well, let's see. You got the statement or affirmation, I am rich, to which your brain replies, yeah, right. So what would the question be? And I thought to myself, why am I so rich? And then I thought about that. If I said, well, wait a second, if I ask that question, why am I so rich? Or why am I enough? Why am I good enough? Why am I so successful? I said, well, wait a minute. The human brain has to search for the answer. So now we all know about the law of sowing and reaping, right? As you sow, so shall you reap. This has been taught for centuries. But what are we sowing? We're sowing seeds of thought. But what are most people doing? Sowing lousy thought seeds. Why am I so broke? Why am I so fat? Why can't I lose weight? Why can't I make more money? See, you're sowing lousy thought seeds. When you ask lousy questions, what do you get? Lousy answers, right? And that creates a lousy life. So I said, what if we flip the whole thing on its head, start asking empowering questions that lead to phenomenal answers and create a wonderful life? And I said, as I was standing there in the shower, it was April 24th, 1997, I said, holy cow, I think I just invented something. And so I had to give it a name, and the name that I gave it is, as you mentioned, the name of my new book from Hay House, which is Affirmations, Affirmations, Affirmations. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it really came from, this discovery of affirmations. Just to finish the story, you know, I started writing about it. People, you know, started writing me back about how they changed their lives. We've seen people who've doubled or tripled their income. You know, like the gentleman that I mentioned to you, and all his revenues increased by 5 times in a period of less than 2 years. We've had people go from $60,000 in debt to a six-figure income. We've had people find the love of their lives, lose hundreds of pounds after they've tried every diet and weight loss program, fix their marriages, and even kids love affirmations. We've got kids who are getting better grades and, you know, graduating at the top of their classes. It's just incredible. So we call it the Affirmations Revolution, and it really all began in the shower back in 1997.
Let's say somebody is, you know, $60,000 in debt. How does the affirmation work with that person before they've had the success and they turn it into a six-figure, you know, business? How do they turn it around when they're in that funk?
Well, what,
like,
if,
how
one
do
of
they
the
ask
things
themselves?
That,
yeah, go ahead.
Sure, sure. No. Well, one of the things that causes the poverty mentality that we were talking about earlier is that you are, in fact, unknowingly asking lousy questions. Why am I so broke? How come I can never get ahead? How come I never get any lucky breaks? And so on and so on. And guess what? When you form those questions in your brain finds the answer. So, of course, you don't know you're doing this, but billions of people right now today are doing this, and, of course, it's creating their lives. So now with the affirmations method, what people are doing around the world is, number one, so in this example, like this is a real, you know, life example from a woman named Susan, one of our clients from California. She was $60,000 in debt. In fact, she spent $60,000 on every self-help program. That's why she was in debt, because she tried every other program. And her husband was about to leave her because he said, I can't take it anymore. You're spending all my money, you know, all of our money on these self-help programs, and you're still stuck. You're not doing it. And so it was a really bad situation. She heard me. In fact, she heard me on a show just like this, and she said, wow, you know, just totally resonated with her. She got the affirmations program, got our online program, started using it, and she realized, number one, she was asking lousy questions, like I was just mentioning, why am I so broke? Mm-hmm. How come I can't get ahead? She stopped asking lousy questions, started asking these empowering questions like I show you how to do, and then really she started to take action. It was about, you know, for in her case, she wanted to be a television producer. She started getting more interviews and just taking little baby steps. Long story short, in less than a year, she had landed her dream job as a TV producer, making a six-figure income, and in fact, she's just published her first book. So it really was just an amazing
process. I guess
what I'm
asking, Noah, is so she, in that 60,000, the question that she turned around, that's what I'm trying, I know there were several questions, I'm sure, but at that point, when she starts asking better questions, do you mean sort of in the realm of saying gratitude? Why am I so rich? Why am I mean, I guess I'm trying to understand, like, what would be a question that someone like that at $60,000 in debt, trying to find the answer, what would be a question that she, in that state of mind, would turn around? Just give me one example.
Sure. So one example would be something like, why was it so easy for me to get out of debt? Okay? So think about this, and, you know, what I show you with the affirmations method is it starts with what you want. What is it you want to create or manifest? Most people are unknowingly constantly focused on what they don't want, and ironically, creating a life they don't want. And so with affirmations, what I encourage my students to do is focus on what you want and then ask your brain why it's so. Why is it true? And some might say, well, you're just fooling yourself. I'm like, well, that's fine. You're already fooling yourself into thinking you can't do it. So why not fool yourself for your own benefit? So in this case, Phyllis, you know, one example might be, why was it so easy for me to get out of debt? Please keep in mind, everybody listening, this isn't magic. We're not talking about fairy dust. We're not talking about a genie coming out of a bottle. This is planet Earth. This is real life. And the point is, this is science, not magic. So you're already doing this anyway. And as I mentioned, you know, in Susan's case, she took one step at a time. It was not like an overnight, quote unquote, but nevertheless, going from $60,000 in debt to a six-figure income, it really did happen in less than a year. I know it sounds miraculous, but, you know, these are some examples that have happened, you know, using this method.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, we got to take a short break again. When we come back, we're going to talk about money, that it is not the root of all evil, and how to have a healthy relationship with money. And, oh boy, there's just lots of stuff. So stand by. We'll be with you in right after the short break.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. I'm speaking with Noah St. John, who is a world-renowned thinker, written 10 books. This guy really knows his stuff. We've been talking about affirmations. He's written a book, Affirmations, The Miracle of Positive Self-Talk. And so, Noah, I just want to you were mentioning about that you had your big shower moment, the shower that changed your life and everyone else's, and you were in taking religious studies. So I want to bring up that there is another very famous clergyman, Norman Vincent Peale, and he's he was born at the turn of the 20th century, and years ago in 1955, I believe it was, he wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. That's something that that people know about. Most people do, at least, especially if you're interested in self-development. And there is a trend now towards positive thinking. There is a whole, you can get a master's degree in positive psychology. So there is this trend, gratefully, that's happening. But how does your philosophy, your affirmation philosophy, does it differ from the power of positive thinking and this positive psychology, or build upon it, or both?
Well, I would argue that it builds upon it. I don't think it differs, because I don't think there's anybody that would argue that, well, it's better to think negative than positive. I mean, that doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. So I definitely agree with Norman Vincent Peale and all those other thinkers in the space. I think where I came along was, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, being that frustrated guy living in that little room who had read all of those books and absolutely, positively was working very hard doing everything they told me and told us to do in those books, and was very frustrated with the result. So So really, our formations, as I, you know, shared the genesis story of it, and that's, you know, exactly the way it happened, it came out of my frustration with, come on, man, how come I am not getting the results that I want doing everything they told me to do? So what's happened since the Afformations Revolution began, you know, those very humble beginnings in the shower, you know, since then I've had, I can't tell you how many thousands and thousands of people from around the world who said, oh, my God, no, I had exactly the same experience with affirmations, with positive statements. They just never worked for me. So I'm certainly not suggesting that positive statements don't work. I think there's no question that they've worked for millions of people. However, there's also no question that millions and millions of people have also been frustrated by them. So the way that I look at it is it's another tool for your toolbox. It's another tool or method to or technology, really. It's a new technology of the mind. It's a technology to enable your brain, or I should say enable you to change your brain, change your subconscious thinking patterns. And frankly, we've just seen it in so many cases that it does work faster and easier than the traditional statement method for just many, many people.
One of the things you brought up earlier was, for example, a statement like, I am enough. And for when I think about it, when I say I am enough, the next thought out of my mind is, well, why am I enough? And when you think in terms of why am I enough, then you start, to me, that's when I start thinking and on my hand going, well, I'm this, and I'm a great mom, and I'm a great wife, and I work, and I, you know, I love my work, and I'm creative, you know, and I start thinking of all the things that makes me enough. And so I can see how that could work because it goes deeper. Is what it does. It really goes much deeper into your own yourself and looking at yourself and your own psyche and your own emotions. And I, you know, people have stories. Like you had your story about living in poverty and hard work, but you still lived in poverty and that poverty thinking, but you changed your story. And I think that is, this is one great tool to be able to change your story. So,
I 100%.
Yeah, one of your belief systems, again, this is on your, you can go to your website, noahstjohn.com, and there's a list of these all bunch of beliefs. Of course, this is what you, the kind of work you do in coaching people, and your belief system is that, one of them is that the love of money is not the root of all evil, but that most of humanity's problems occur when we put money before people and the good of the planet. So explain what you mean by that.
Well, it's pretty obvious as we enter this, you know, new time in humanity's history that right now, you know, corporations and governments and everything is all about making that profit. And, you know, again, I'm certainly not suggesting that as a business person we want to not make a profit. Of course we have to make a profit in order to stay in business, keep the lights on, you know, feed our families and so on. The point is, in my estimation, you know, what I've noticed is that when we put profits before people and when we put profits before the planet, that's when we as a species get in real trouble. I don't think we have to look too far. You can open any newspaper or turn on the TV and realize that that's happening every day. So, you know, in our little way that we do it here on our campus at successclinic.com, you know, we just always put people first. And what we find, of course, is that when you do put people first, you do actually tend to make more profit. And you get to sleep better. You get to feel good about yourself and know that, hey, I'm doing good. I'm bringing value to the planet, to the earth, and to my customers, my clients, the people that I'm serving. So that's all we're saying. We're certainly not against profit. We're not saying that at all because, as I just said, you know, you have to keep the lights on. You have to, you know, and be able to do fun things with your family and so on, and that does take profit. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just the order. It's the priorities, I guess. That's what I'm talking about.
What about some people actually have guilt wrapped around money? Not sure where that comes from. Maybe it's somebody who's lived a life in poverty like you, and or it, maybe it comes from that poverty mentality. But how do people have a healthy relationship with money, that it's okay to make money? I mean, you alluded to it, that it's not the root of all evil, and that you put people first. But there are people that actually have guilt around it.
Oh, tons of people. I mean, millions and millions of people have guilt around money, and I've worked with so many of them as coaching clients. I mean, and that's one of the big things. When people start to get these accelerated incomes, when they start to double or triple their income, that's one of the big things that puts the brakes on for them, is their beliefs, their negative beliefs, their negative associations around money. I mean, you've already mentioned a couple of them, and, you know, they are just there in the consciousness. They're floating out there. You know, money is the root of all evil, and it's easier to pass through a camel through the eye of a needle than a rich man getting to heaven. And, you know, all of these quotes and statements, and money doesn't grow on trees and all this stuff. So, you know, one of the things that I do with my clients, Phyllis, is I literally have people write down, okay, what is your association with money? Just write it down. So, you know, you could just do like, money is, and then start writing, you know, maybe like write 10 or 20 things. Money is bad. Money is evil. Money is great. Money is, you know, and you probably find that you've got a lot of differing opinions, literally in your own head, flailing around, you know, about this thing called money. And so one of the things that we really like to do is put money in its rightful place. That's why I started this whole conversation, if you remember, talking about the four elements of an abundant lifestyle: time, energy, relationships, and money. So notice, it's not just money, but it's not money. I mean, money's got to be there. And growing up poor, I was painfully aware that it sucks to have no money. I mean, there is just nothing good about it. I can't say one good thing about poverty. It's just not good. So, you know, I am speaking from personal experience, and that's why, again, I'm kind of on a crusade to say, hey, money's not everything, but it's not nothing either. So let's just put it in its rightful place and be okay with that.
And the rightful place is money doesn't suck.
No, it's really cool. I mean, you know, that's why when you look up my website, I get to, you know, look, with a name like Noah, I always dreamed about swimming with dolphins, right? You know, I mean, with a name like Noah, you got to do that. And I always said, oh, I could never afford that. And then one day I woke up and said, wait a minute, I can totally afford that. I've got money. I can do this. Now I've gone swimming with dolphins four different times. I'm like, this is pretty awesome. And, yeah, that takes money to do that. But, see, that's just one example of, I mean, you know, think about the things that you want to do, everybody listening, and go, hey, you know what, that probably takes money. I'm not saying it has to, but in many cases it does. And then, okay, it's all right to have money and be okay with that.
There are some experts that are calling affirmations the missing piece to stress-free prosperity. Why is that, and what is stress-free prosperity?
Well, like I was talking about earlier, you know, the time, energy, relationships, and money, that's what we either call abundant lifestyle or stress-free prosperity. You can call it happiness, joy, fulfillment, whatever you want to call it. I think one of the reasons that many, many people, you know, people just write to me all the time, right on Facebook or social media, or email me, contact me through our website and just say, you know, how affirmations change their lives. I think one of the reasons that we're seeing that is because that these people have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on all these different self-help and money-making training programs and courses and so on, and yet they were still stuck. And so what happened is that, you know, once you learn how to use your brain to change your life, really everything changes. Just another real quick example, we had one woman named Sheila, also from California, in the direct sales industry. And she was making, when she heard me speak at a seminar, she was making about $5,000 a month in sales, which is pretty good, but she knew she could do a lot more than that, and she really wanted to move up in her company. And she had spent over $30,000 on all these different trainings and programs and so on, and really was just stuck. She, you know, got one of my programs, was able to work with me and, you know, work with me, in fact, one-on-one, and then, long story short, less than a year later, she had gone from making $5,000 a month to over $75,000 per month, not year, but month. So that is, in fact, a 15 times increase, which sounds incredible. But really, what she said to me was, Noah, what's shocking about that is not just that I increased by 15 times, but she told me that I'm actually working less now to earn $75,000 per month than I was when I was making $5,000 per month. So that really goes back to what I was saying earlier about hard work versus proper work.
And that's stress-free prosperity. Proper work for sure. So then, like for an example, if you can, for that woman in particular, what was one of the big things that changed for her?
One of the big things is what I call using leverage. Now, leverage in on our campus, it means using what you have to get what you want, right? So all of us want more money. Well, actually, if you think about it, we all want more of those four things that I talked about earlier, more time, mm-hmm. more energy, better relationships, and more money. Now, obviously, for every person, that means something different. So some might say, well, gosh, you know, I'd like to just be making $10,000 a month, and then I'd be just thrilled. Some might say, well, you know, I want to be at $50,000 a month or whatever it is, you know, whatever your number is. And some might say, well, I want a Lexus and, you know, I want a Ferrari. You see what I mean? So, it's of course, mm-hmm. everybody's different. But my point is that at the end of the day, we all want those four things. So what I'm suggesting is that you need to look at how you're using those four things right now, because guess what? You have the time that you have the energy you have the relationships you have, and you have the money that you have right now. Most people are sitting around wishing and wishing that they had more of those. And, well, when I have more time, when I have more money, then I'll do X, Y, and Z. The point is that's never going to work. It won't happen that way. That's like, you know, staring at a pile of bricks and going, well, you know, when as soon as that house is built, as soon as it builds itself, then I'll have a nice house. Well, no, you got to use what you have to get what you want. So that was one of the things that Sheila did, was she realized, wait a second, I actually have more time than I think. And she started to use her time differently. And she started to look at her relationships and say, wait a minute, I can delegate more. And instead of running around doing everything, I can maybe hire some people or ask some family members for support and so on. So really, that was one of the keys for her, was using the time, energy, relationship that she and money that she had in order to get those, the things that she wanted.
All right. We have to take one more short break. And then when we come back, we are going to be talking about the law of attraction and what you're teaching is different from that. But even more importantly, and this is it. So you want to stick around for this, folks. You're also going to give some tips on how to achieve better health, wealth, and well-being in 5 minutes a day. So don't go away. We got more of this Noah St. John when we come back right after this very short break.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Yes, welcome back. This is our last segment, speaking with Noah St. John. Really interesting conversation around affirmations and how to think differently, train your brain to think differently so that you can achieve success in the 4 major areas of being human: time, energy, money, relationships. When all of those are balanced and in order and feel good, then you're basically in a good place, and that's success. So however you define success. And so Noah St. John, he has written a book, 10 books, but one of his books, Affirmations, this is the miracle of positive self-talk, is really helps give you tips on how to achieve all these things. But before we go into that, Noah, we all know, not we, I don't want to assume everybody knows this, but The Secret, for example, was a very popular book. It is built around, it's all mostly around the concept of the law of attraction. So tell us how your technique works in helping people achieve success. That is different than law of attraction.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said, Phyllis, you know, millions of people watch The Secret, and they basically, in The Secret, they say, well, listen, if you just think about money, then money will pour in from the sky and you'll have all the money you want. Well, I'm not sure what planet that works on, but I don't think it's the planet Earth, because on the planet Earth, we have to do this annoying thing called work, you know, to get the results that we want. I mean, so that's what they showed us in the movie, and I'm not speaking out of school here, because everybody in that movie, as you mentioned at the top of the show, endorses my work. John Azaraf, Jack Canfield, Neil Donald Walsh, and on and on. So the point is, all of the teachers in that movie are perfectly aware that you can't just think about money and make money, or think about losing weight and lose weight and so on. So the point is that I'm not saying the law of attraction doesn't exist. It's just that they packaged it in a way that we all want to hear. Of course, we all want to believe that you can get everything you want without having to work. Who wants to work, right? It's aggravating. It's annoying. But sadly, on planet Earth, we have to do this thing called work. But so what I prefer to talk about, Phyllis, is I just call it the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow, so shall you reap. Because we can all understand that, and we all get it, that if you're sowing seeds that are positive, you're generally going to get positive results, as long as you're also taking action. If you're sowing seeds that are negative or disempowering, those are results you're going to get. So that's what I prefer to talk about.
I alluded to that you have some tips for us that in order to achieve better health, wealth, and well-being mm-hmm. in 5 minutes a day. So if you can just run those off for us, that would be great, and then we all can walk away today and get started on this journey towards success.
Absolutely. And, you know, I also want to make sure that we do tell folks that they can download the first chapter of the Book of Affirmations, you know, right at our website, affirmations.com. So really the first thing that I would encourage people to do is write down what you want. What is it that you want? That's the first step. So get very, very clear on that. How, not say, oh, I want more money. All right, well, how much more money? Is it $10,000 a month, $30,000 a month, or whatever? And then if you're saying, well, I want to lose some weight, how much weight do you want to lose? By when? And so on. So get very, very clear on what it is that you want. Most people really aren't that clear on that. That's one of the big stuck points that people have. Second is to use affirmations, to affirm it. So let's say, you know, you want to make that $10,000 a month. Why is it so easy for me to make $10,000 a month? That's just one example. You know, in the Book of Affirmations, I give you over 400 unique affirmations in all different areas, from health, wealth, love, and relationships, and so on. Then the third step is to accept the truth of your new question. So what I talk about is giving yourself to the question. And you do that by reading, writing, speaking, and listening. You take your brain through this new process. On our website, we've got something called a formware. You can record your affirmations and set them to inspiring music. We also have something called iAfform audios. You can listen to your affirmations throughout the day and literally change your brain while you're not even paying attention. It only takes about 5 minutes a day. And then the final thing, and this is what I was just talking about a moment ago, is to take action. It is not enough to just say these positive things. No matter how good your questions are, no matter how empowering they are, you still have to take action. It would be like saying, well, just think about losing weight and you can keep eating junk food and never exercise. And of course you'll lose weight. Well, of course that won't happen. We all know that. Everybody gets that. But still, a lot of people, you know, believe these in magical thinking. This isn't magical thinking. This is the exact opposite of magical thinking. This is scientific thinking and action. So what we talk about on our campus at successclinic.com, we talk about take inspired action. That's one of our catchphrases. We just say take inspired action. So sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Sometimes you're going to be doing things that literally you're like, boy, this feels really weird, or I wonder if this is the right thing. But listen to your gut, listen to your intuition, your higher self. And the more you practice, it's like a muscle, and you'll get better and better at listening to it and trusting yourself, trusting your intuition. And I think that'll really pay off great dividends for you. So that's really how you can have all those things, and it really doesn't have to take long. You can do all of that in less than 5 minutes a day.
And it's taking action, there's some listeners that might think, oh, God, just I'm into such a funk. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, exactly. So when you say take action, that even that could almost just be just too overwhelming. So taking these steps that you're talking about before taking action, training your brain, it seems to me there you take these small steps, and even the action steps aren't big giant leaps. I imagine that they're small steps, and you say inspired action. I'm assuming that they are small steps that eventually will lead to bigger steps. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that usually is how it works. We're not saying to, you know, make these enormous changes overnight. We are suggesting take baby steps, but listen to your gut, listen to your intuition, your inner knowing, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, because that part of you is so much more wise. It's smarter. It's older. It's just been there for centuries. Versus the head. The head is usually the thing that gets us in trouble. You know, our logical thought. Sometimes these actions might not make any sense. If I had more time, I'd share with you a bunch of stories about that. But anyway, just know that I'm sure we've all had experiences like that. So trust that inner knowing, because that is the thing that will often get you there so much faster than you thought.
And I think to close, you know, we all have stories. We were raised a certain way. One of my favorite books of all time is The Four Agreements, that I'm sure you know, and many people have read that as well, that we're all kind of in our own movie, but we have the way to change the script, and you're almost prescribing, it seems to me, creating a new script. We have to take those memories that are in every cell of our body, and we need to change those memories, create new ones, and your book, Affirmations, can do that. So if you go to affirmations.com, you can download the first chapter of your book. And in addition, if you go to your website, noahstjohn.com, people can connect with you directly. You also were talking about on campus, you said this, I'm sorry to say that your website is success. Just tell me what that website is too, and the campus you're talking about. We didn't really go into that, but tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I discovered Affirmations in 1997, and I had another discovery also that year that led me to start my company, so it's called, the name of my company is Success Clinic International. Successclinic.com is the name of it. So, you know, we do have a virtual campus. I work out of my home, but we have people from all around the world, over 120 countries so far, that have been part of and have joined the Affirmations Revolution. So that's what we talk about when we talk about our campus. It's a virtual campus like University of Phoenix. But anyway, my point is that, yeah, we do talk about that. So when you go, if you go to successclinic.com, that actually forwards to noahstjohn.com, because that's how a lot of people know me, is, you know, with my name. But, yes, that's how folks can contact me, and that's the easiest way to do it.
The word after success, I keep losing that word. Success what?
Oh, clinic. C-L-I-N-I-C, like going to the clinic.
Successclinic.com.
Clinic actually comes from the Greek word for rest. So we want to give people a place of rest and relaxation and comfort when it comes to this place of success.
Successclinic.com still goes to Noah St. John. So lots of it, just basically affirmations.com, Noah St. John. That's going to get you to Noah and his book as well. Thank you. And again, 10 other books, 9 other books besides that. So thank you, Noah.
You
this has
it.
Been so enlightening. I'm going to have you back on again, for sure. So
great.
you be good, and so appreciate everything that you've done for humanity.
Oh, my pleasure, Phyllis. Thank you for having me on today. It was a great pleasure.